Witness the world's best cinema, meet the creators behind your favorite works, and encounter live shows that combine music and film at the Vancouver International Film Festival. Taking place from September 28th to October 8th, a stellar lineup of over 130 films from 70 countries will transport you to places you've never been. Embrace the magic of cinema with exceptional storytelling that leaves you captivated and inspired. Be in the room as VIFF Live shows breathe life into stories from the screen, combining live performance and cinema. And go behind the scenes with VIFF Talks, connecting you to the brilliant minds behind the work you love. Explore the program and get tickets now at VIFF.org. That's VIFF.org. Student discounts are available, and if you are between the ages of 19 and 25, you can also join VIFF's free U25 membership program. Witness the world's best cinema, meet the creators behind your favorite works, and encounter live shows that combine music and film at the Vancouver International Film Festival. Taking place from September 28th to October 8th, a stellar lineup of over 130 films from 70 countries will transport you to places you've never been. Embrace the magic of cinema with exceptional storytelling that leaves you captivated and inspired. Be in the room as VIFF Live shows breathe life into stories from the screen, combining live performance and cinema. And go behind the scenes with VIFF Talks, connecting you to the brilliant minds behind the work you love. Explore the program and get tickets now at VIFF.org. That's VIFF.org. Student discounts are available, and if you are between the ages of 19 and 25, you can also join VIFF's free U25 membership program.
Hello and welcome to the Canadian Philosophy Show. I'm your main host today, Tegan Marshall. I'm here with Aaron Wang, Mihai Kovasser, and Brandon. Tell me what your last name is.
Brownlee.
Here at the Canadian Philosophy Show, we're starting up a whole new mini-series on the existential questions of life. No, just kidding. Technically, it's about existentialism in general, focusing on basically a few key authors, starting with Kierkegaard, going from there to Sartre, Heidegger, Thornton Wilder's Our Town, and whoever else pops into our minds as we go about this journey. Because, as Martin Heidegger would say, life itself is possibility. Human existence is possibility. So, folks, are you ready to dive into the possibilities of this brand new miniseries? For those who don't know kind of what existentialism is, at least in my individual experience, because this is what kind of separates existentialism from a variety of different philosophical disciplines, I will make the case that existentialism is meant to be an individual study of the world in which someone inhabits versus a more moral, ethical, philosophical outlook that seeks to universalize concepts and experience to better a society. Although there is definite value in trying to understand the universal aspects of existentialism, existentialism itself came out of the recognition, as Friedrich Nietzsche would write, that God is dead. What does that mean, God is dead? Well, it means that we as humanity no longer have some alternative authority that is overarching to blame or to make atonement for our failures. It is up to the human person to strive through and create the world in which they want to see. And it is this question of how do we respond to the Nietzschean claim of God being dead, of which existentialism or the study of existence comes into play. And so before I really get rolling and jump right in, I want to take some time for my colleagues to share their experience with existentialism and hear why they wanted to join on this mini-series. Why don't we start with our good friend, Mihai?
Sure thing, I can jump in there. So I think existentialism is something that people poke around with at some point, almost inevitably, if they have any interest in philosophy whatsoever. Even if you don't, you might stumble upon thoughts that some of these authors have had and have formally written. And, you know, I think it's a worthwhile endeavor as far as characterizing your own experience with yourself and with the world around you and being able to articulate that experience and how that feels and what the results or what the outcomes of such a relationship might be. Personally, I was talking just before the show started about a course I took in History of Political Thought, in which I read Kierkegaard. We read his Fear and Trembling, which I thought was a great piece, and it sparked an interest for me in that relationship, especially between man and God, or whatever people consider to be God, as Nietzsche would say, you know, as an authority figure, especially. I think that's a really interesting thing to study. So anyways, without further ado, I'll pass it on. But that's sort of where I'm leading on this, is I think that'll be an interesting question to tackle. And I quite like Kierkegaard's. So
my, I guess, experience with existentialism comes mostly in the form of Heidegger. Most of the existentialism that I've read is Heidegger, and I've read him, I don't want to say deeply, but I have gone through Being in Time a bit. So when we get to those points, I think that will be interesting to kind of draw out my own readings. But specifically about, more about the existentialist sort of movement or philosophy itself, one of the things that I find important about the existential, like, again, mindset or philosophy, is that it's our condition. We find ourselves in a particular time, in a particular set of plausibilities about the way the world is, and existentialism is an attempt to address what seems plausible and what isn't. I mean, you raise correctly that for us, God is dead. No longer is this like a, this isn't a plausible claim. You can't frame the world in terms of a totalizing anything, but specifically a totalizing authority figure or moral figure. We have to cope with that situation. And if we're going to do that, it's going to be through the work that's been done in this particular area.
I will just warn you on the claim of saying that we cannot. Maybe many people do not, but it's dangerous in the philosophical ring to say that we cannot frame the world that way. But anyways, I'm sure we'll get into that later.
There's already a scandal on the panel, folks, but we're going to bring back and hold back the raging seas, and we're going to go to Aaron real quick, and then I'll jump in here.
Yeah, so I don't really have a lot of formal understanding with existentialism. To me, it seems like it has introduced a lot of language that people find helpful to discussing their lives. Like when people talk about the human condition, or they talk about existential dread, or finding the meaning in their existence. Like these are questions and terms that I think are tied to existentialism, maybe not exclusively tied. But I think that the movement and its effects in the modern day are something that everyone can appreciate. So, yeah, I'm pretty ignorant going into this. So I'll be leaning very heavily on my colleagues for their expertise in the subject.
Well, excellent, because acknowledging that you're ignorant is the first sign of wisdom, right? What did Socrates do but say, "I know nothing," and that's why the oracle declared him, albeit second-handedly through a friend, that Socrates is the wisest man in all of Athens. But we're going forward in time. We're being thrust into a godless world in the pursuit of existentialism, so let us begin. I've heard existentialism be described as the kind of cheesy, kind of movie-ish version of philosophy that everyone thinks of when they hear the word philosophy. This brooding individual that's like, what does it mean to be human? What does it mean to live? What does it mean to exist? But part of the reason I wanted to engage in this mini-series is because existentialism is the reason I remain in philosophy to this day. Existentialism seeks to get to the root of what it is to be a human creature within the world, right? And Brandon, Aaron, and Mihai have all touched on the term the human condition. One of the first questions that I was posed in my first existentialism course was, what do I make of Jean-Paul Sartre's claim that there is no human nature, merely a human condition, right? And It is understanding the human condition, what binds us to